Nancy Sumner trained as an artist in fine art. She lived as an artist and also taught art. Life was good, and Nancy was on the verge of opening her own art school when a couple of years ago, that very same week, everything changed. She lost her sight overnight due to a rare ongoing brain condition called idiopathic intracranial hypertension. Now, it was an incredible shock and left Nancy wondering, how can she still pursue her life in art? Hi, Nancy.
Hello there.
What a shock.
It was a bit, yeah. It was totally out of the blue. Something which doesn't normally happen with sight loss, that quickly anyway. So absolutely, yeah, totally out of the blue. Had 20/20 vision. Didn't think I had any issues whatsoever. Just living life as I normally do. And yeah, just happened one day.
And it's like everything that you've worked towards in your life up to that point, it's almost like it's just been turned upside down.
Absolutely. It did. It changed absolutely everything. Just, you know, your normal everyday things, such as shopping and what have you. But obviously the biggest things that happened were to do with my work, my family, and yeah, like you say, everything that I'd put into my life up until that point, to get to a point in life where I could do what I wanted to do myself, which was to set up an art school with all my prior knowledge and experience.
You strike me as somebody who has art in their soul, would that be right?
Absolutely. Eat, drink and sleep it, and always have done. I was brought up in a creative family. My parents were artists. I don't know what that says about me, because there were 60s art students. Maybe I didn't have any chance to start with. But art was all around me. I was a very lucky individual, being able to just have any art material around, pick it up. And encouraged by both of my parents, my dad, who was a cartoonist for Punch and The Times, and he was also an art teacher. And my mum was originally a textile designer. So, that's where all my love of art and creativity came from.
And we should say that your brain condition, it can vary, can't it, on a daily basis, even now?
Absolutely, yeah. The main symptoms are dizziness, lack of coordination, and then my eyesight, although it's stabilised to a specific point, that will stay as it is for the moment. I was actually given a VP shunt, which goes from my brain to my peritoneum, which drains the excess fluid on my brain, which is part of the actual condition. So it's the fluctuation of fluid to my brain which creates the dizziness and the lack of coordination, but it also plays a big part in my memory, and all sorts of other things, really. It's very difficult to live with. Some days are better than others. Creates fatigue as well, and that's on top of the sight loss, which is bad enough in itself. So life is, yeah, quite a challenge. Not quite the challenge I had in mind at my age in life, but nevertheless, it's a challenge, and you know, I like challenges, not particularly ones particularly this difficult, but you know, it helps. I have a drive to kind of keep going anyway. So
you've been left with basically a pinprick of central vision, haven't you, in both eyes?
Yeah, it's I consider myself to be incredibly lucky, because when this happened I went totally blind. So the shunt that they fitted into my brain, it drained the fluid away from my optic nerves, because it was my optic nerves that were crushed. And after about probably 3 months of having the shunt in, a certain amount of central vision came back, a useful amount so that I can kind of generally get around. And my eyesight was very good beforehand, so I'm incredibly lucky because of that. But I have no peripheral vision whatsoever. And my colours are not as bright, and my depth perception is quite poor. I'll give you a quick example of how poor it was. I was during the summer, I was hanging out my washing on a washing line, and I was trying to grab the washing line, and I could see it in front of me. It was a white line right there in front of me. I was trying to grab it, and just couldn't grab it, just didn't know where it was. So I walked forward, sideways, could not grab it. And then I realized I was actually trying to grab a vapor trail in the sky.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah, so my depth perception is really quite poor.
What happened to the washing?
Well, it just went indoors.
Now, you've actually transitioned into another form of art. Tell us a bit about that.
Okay, well, I trained as a fine artist in London at Bimeshaw School of Art, which is connected to Central St Martin's and the University of the Arts London. And I was very fortunate to study there. I absolutely loved it. My background, my mum, you know, she was into kind of textile design. My dad was more graphic, so he was more of a cartoonist. So basically, you know, I used to love fine art, drawing, painting. It came so naturally to me because I had the opportunity from being very young to, you know, to and the luxury to have all the equipment around me all the time as if it was just second nature. So that's what I did. Although my dad did used to teach photography, and I did have a background interest in photography. You know, all the things that you apply to a painting, a good painting, composition, colour, tone, texture, everything like that can be transferred into your photography. So I always loved photography as well, but it was always put on a back burner because I did actually teach fine art, art and design. And, you know, so it wasn't always at the forefront of what I was doing. So, yeah, since I lost my eyesight, a really strange transition happened, one which was very uncomfortable, but something which I'm using to significantly transform my life in the way that I see the world around me now, you know, because I've been 47 years so used to seeing in one way only, and so now I had to adapt that, and I use a camera to get me around. So not only have I transitioned into using photography as an art form, I use it to navigate around shops, streets, the house. It gives me the peripheral, and then I can see it on my small phone, the whole thing in front of me. So I'm constantly using my phone anyway now to get about.
And you've been recognised, and I know you're very excited about this, by the Royal Photographic Society. They've picked up on your story, haven't they?
They absolutely have. I was really lucky. I was nominated into their forthcoming exhibition next year. So hopefully in December, they're going to be choosing 100 inspirational women for their RPS 100 Heroines exhibition. So I'm hoping that I go forward into the exhibition so that I can showcase what I do and hopefully inspire other people. Yeah, I mean, it's something that's happened, and I was amazed that the Royal Photographic Society, after my nomination, chose to feature me on their website and their Twitter with my biography and 10 photographs, and then 4 further photographs, which had a significant meaning to me since I lost my eyesight. So So they've given me a real full coverage, and I'm really, really feel very privileged to have been showcased on their website and Twitter.
Right. Describe some of your art. Now, for instance, there's one on the Royal Photographic Society's where they're focusing on your work. There's a picture of a little girl and she's looking through a massive magnifying glass.
It's actually a mirror.
Oh, is it a mirror? Right.
Yeah. She's Lola's my eldest granddaughter. I'm really fortunate to have two beautiful daughters, and I have two gorgeous granddaughters and one little grandson now. So I'm really fortunate. And the eldest granddaughter is Lola. And this particular photograph is of Lola getting ready for a performance. The grandchildren and my youngest daughter always perform when they get together. They do a show and it's absolutely wonderful. So we get together, all the local members of family, such as my father, my stepmom, their uncles, etc. And we all get together and they perform a show. And Lola was literally just sitting so quietly by herself at the table with the mirror from my bedroom. She brought it downstairs and she was just applying makeup. And she's only little, so, or young, so you can see it's very heavily being put onto her eye. But it was just such a gorgeous moment that I just saw the moment. And because she was looking into a mirror, actually, it does look like a magnifying glass because it is a magnified mirror. So it is quite large, hence why I spotted it. And I just snapped it. And that's how it goes with me. I just snap photographs of my everyday life, my grandchildren, my children, anything that I come into contact with. I have always been known anyway for taking photographs everywhere I go, all the time. So at the end of the day, I'll siphon out the best photographs and then I'll crop them and highlight areas of them so that I can see them more clearly. And I think from what other people have said, this gives a kind of hyper reality to them, which is quite interesting. Gives them more depth, texture and colour. That particular photograph is one of my very favourites, and they've chosen to feature that one on their website. So I'm really proud of that.
No, it's a lovely picture, and I think the fact that she doesn't realise that the picture's being taken is part of the magic of that.
Absolutely. Well, that's how I take my photos. Mm. They don't know what I'm doing. I suppose in a way I'm a bit like Big Brother. So basically they're quite candid, I suppose. I don't want any of my photographs to be kind of contrived or simulated. And although to some extent I have to really concentrate on what I'm taking, especially if it's a landscape image, because, of course, I don't have the full landscape image myself from my own eyes. So I have to kind of scan the area first. And so things can be, to me, a little bit artificial in that sense. But what I try to do is keep them as natural looking, as natural as possible. Yeah, they're more candid. And I think that's, yeah, like you say, I think that's the kind of nature of them. They're not posed at all.
If you'd like to get a look at some of the artwork, some of the pictures on the Royal Photographic Society, it's www.rps.org/100heroines, all one word. Now, I know this means a lot to you. Why is it so important to you, this exhibition?
Well, for lots of reasons, really. I mean, there are specific reasons why the RPS are actually doing this. I mean, despite kind of superstars such as Annie Leibovitz in photography, the importance of the work of contemporary kind of female photographers is being overlooked in a kind of male-dominated kind of profession. They wanted to set up an international campaign to find and honour outstanding contemporary female photographers. And this includes the public, which is where I come into it, because I'm not a professional photographer. So that's why it's so interesting. They're going to be judged by an international panel, which is very exciting. So I don't know exactly what they're going to be looking for, whether my story is something that they'll be interested in. But from a kind of personal perspective, I think it touches a lot of people, normal, everyday people, their everyday scenes, you know. And I'm hoping that if I do get selected in December for the exhibition, that my work can be kind of seen as an inspiration to others who have not only lost their eyesight, but who have had or who have encountered disability in some way. I want to kind of inspire, obviously, my daughters and my grandchildren, because a lot of my life has been taken away from me. A lot of the things that I would have done with them has been taken away from me. So it's a more simple life that I have with them. So if I can kind of show them that, you know, these types of things don't need to get in your way, that you can still be a strong woman, a strong individual, and you can conquer your disabilities or work alongside them, then that should inspire them to, you know, to carry on. So basically, I think that each of the women who are chosen will be awarded a specially minted medal and named in honour of Margaret Harker, who died in 2013. And she was actually the first woman president of the Royal Photographic Society. And she was also the first female professor of photography in the UK. So to be awarded as an inspirational woman would be amazing. To just purely have this feature for anybody to see on their website, to me, is incredibly important, especially with the RNIB, because the RNIB have been such amazing people to me. They've supported me throughout the last 2 years, which have been incredibly difficult. And without them, I don't honestly think that I would have got this far and done so well so quickly.
Well, Nancy, you are an inspiration, and you're only partway along in this journey, as we all are. But we wish you the best of luck with this, and I love your artwork that I've seen. As I say, if you log on to allthews.rps.org/100heroines, you can get a chance to see some of Nancy's work there. Nancy, would you come on later on? Just let us know how you got on.
Absolutely, I'd love to.
Nancy Sumner, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for giving us a glimpse into your life.
Not a problem at all. Thank you so much for having me.